Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner,
episode 152, what you got for me?
I'm talking about Trump and his bullshit, okay, and his birthright citizenship nonsense, and some of the things we could expect that is constitutional, isn't constitutional, our history with the 14th Amendment, and so on and so forth. What are you talking about?
You are breaking down the facts, and I also will be breaking down some facts as well. Brazil just had an election, and here comes fascism. So I want to talk about the fascist things that, like, how does this happen, and what exactly is this leader? Like, what is his track record? Where the concern should be, and if it maybe reminds you of anything that's maybe happening a little close to home. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, this spooktacular episode, there's so much that's happening around in the country today that we definitely want to get into. Also, between the politics and all sorts of stuff. And I watched a very scary TV show that I want to tell you all about. It was terrifying.
I'm ready to hear about this very scary television show. And a certain someone might be leaving politics. I'm kind of excited.
Oh, well, I can't wait to find out.
Which is a weird thing. Someone we might be excited to shut up about politics for once is actually planning on it.
Oh, okay. I hope it's Trump, but I can't wait to find out.
All right, it's not, but okay, yay! Oh,
okay, spoiler Let's go alert. Here we go. Hey.
We're back again, another week.
Tag team back again. We should get that as our jam. Ooh, girl.
You know what works. I'm not mad at that.
Aneke, what is the equivalent to the Grinch of Halloween?
Me? I don't know.
Okay. Because I guess we'll have to share that costume.
I know.
Except I'm a sexy Grinch Halloween.
Sure, you can be sexy. I'm
because I'm sexy all the time.
The sexy aspects. I'm sexy all the time. Comfortable Grinch.
I realized it this weekend because it was Saturday was the big Halloween for the adults,
right?
You know, the
over
21 and 21 and over, right? Mm-hmm. And I just was zipping around doing things. I had a stand-up comedy show, which I don't even know. Long story long, I went after a drunk guy, which was a disaster.
Uh-oh.
He bombed. I learned hard and fast, it's never good to go after someone who bombs.
Oh, no, because people are angry.
Yes, and so you've got to win them over and make them believe in comedy again, and it's an uphill fucking battle. So that was rough. But then everyone was just running around in their costumes. I had a lot of friends who didn't show up. I'm like, the show is at 6. I'm like, you couldn't show up in your sexy pizza costume on your way to your next Halloween event, but whatever. But what I realized, everyone was running around in their costumes, and I was doing all these shows and stuff, and I just was like, I don't care. I don't have an interest in doing Halloween at all this year. No interest. Zero.
Yeah, I mean, like you said before last week, maybe it's cyclical, it comes and it goes, it ebbs and flows. And there's just a lot on our plate right now to be dressing up, like you said, like a sexy pizza slice and being like, woo, the world's great. I'm not gonna be a full on Grinch though, because in the spirit of Grinch, he goes and destroys shit. I'm appreciating people who enjoy Halloween. You do you. You dress up in your costumes. I appreciate that. Leave me alone. Yeah. I don't need to do
You are like the Grinch's cousin. Her name was Clinch.
Apathetic Andy. That's what I.
Oh, you know what she did? She had a spinoff story, and when she saw the Christmas happening and the Yahoos were singing, or what the who was it? Cindy Woohoo was singing.
The Whovilles were singing.
So what she did is when the Whos were singing, she just looked out the window. She's like, "Oh, Christmas again." She just drew her blinds and then watched TV. That's what she did. She didn't have
to
go and steal
country,
Christmas.
You know what? Country needs to take draw a page the blinds. From that book. Let people do what they want to do. Let them enjoy. Let them have fun. But like, put your head out the window. That's fine.
Draw the blinds and go about your business. Go about your business.
Right. Mm-hmm. No need to destroy somebody else's fun. And also, you don't need to force your fun on anybody else either.
It's a two-way street. Isn't that what America is about? Freedom of fun. Mm-hmm. You do your fun. Don't force your fun on anybody else. Don't you do it.
Don't ruin your fun for anybody else either.
Just because I know what's coming ahead of this episode, can I share some news with you and the listeners? Well, you already know, but we'll pretend like you don't.
I'll pretend. What's this news? Okay. I don't know any news.
Okay. Well, madam, I'm so glad that you asked. I have just been cast on as like, I guess I'm a day player or in the sitcom world, it'd be called a walk-on. I'm going to be on a new CBS show that's coming on CBS All Access. I can't say the name of the show or the project yet, but I have one little line that auditioning for a one-liner in NECA is the most ridiculous experience of your life. Like,
I mean, it sounds
you've got one line, you have like no idea, they don't give you the whole script, you have no idea what's happening, and I'm playing the concierge, I have no idea like what is going on, like what's the relationship to this person, I don't know what's going on beforehand, I don't know anything. And so I've rehearsed this line a million times, I recorded myself a million times, reviewed the tape, and then would try different things. And I feel like
whatever way you auditioned, shouldn't that be the way that, you know, like whatever got you the part?
Yes. So I don't need to, I'm trying not to like overthink it too much now that I've, you know, just do whatever I did beforehand. Cause like I'm the concierge. Like when you get these little like, you know, walk on roles, like the story is like not about you. Like you should almost like people don't even really notice you, you know, like they don't even.
You don't want to be like, your room is ready.
Ooh, I'm having a tough day. My boyfriend broke up with me. I'm mad at you. I have a crush on you. It's not about that.
You get to be on set though, and you get to like say a line and we're like,
a line.
If you have CBS All Access, we're not going to tell you the show right now because it's
I can't tell
under
you
wraps. But it's under just wraps. Know that you will have time to prepare. We'll let you know
when James is going to be
on that show.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you when to tune in. I got to go to the Kaufman Studios where they film like a lot of it's like I didn't realize there's this mini Hollywood over in like Queens area. There's all these studios, these movie lots.
Cool.
Yeah, it's where they film like you see these signs like Orange is the New Black, Sesame Street.
Yeah. Oh,
there.
Yes.
I accidentally walked into their costume area. I was like, oh, I think I'm in the wrong spot.
I mean, I would have did that several times. Just like, what's in here? Like, oops, I'm lost. Wing, oh, wing,
oh,
wing.
Yeah. So I'm super, I realized once this happened, like it's been my dream since I was like 4 years old to be on a TV, like be on TV. So it's just like follow your dreams, keep doing the grind, going for it. Visualizations, and it's been really great. Like I literally had been when I co-hosted with Jesse for the that thing that we did a while back, the upfronts, they gave us a bottle of champagne, and I visualized that I'd be opening that bottle of champagne and celebrating moving and being cast in a commercial and a TV show, and both of those things have all happened in the last
Wait,
like, few
you
weeks,
literally so. Visual you thought of that specifically?
I did. It was those things. I was like, ooh, that's what I'm going to open up that bottle of champagne. So
okay, well, you know what? I'm visualizing a lot of money.
So I need to not open that bottle up yet? I'm going to do that
awesome
too.
Awesome election results.
You know what? That is exactly. I'm not going to open it until after. Okay, both those things. After the election. You're right. I am praying. Everybody, light your incense. Get your crystals. Mm-hmm. Get your whatever. Because like, man, this November 6th thing in NECA. Oof. My heart. I got heart palpitations. Stacey Abrams is in like a neck and neck race with that.
Yes, Stacey Abrams. You know who was going door to door stumping for Stacey Abrams?
Who?
Will Ferrell.
Oh, okay. Get it, Will Ferrell. That is
Isn't
a joy to
awesome?
Open up your door.
I know.
that is like a canvasser's like, you know, like that is so great. Like I can't imagine like who's at my door. Will Ferrell.
I know.
That's great.
And I love it. Support Stacey Abrams, man. Like. That, you know, he's yeah. the type of person who's done all these like fratty kind of like men's men, like, you yeah. know, kind of heteronormative kind of movies. I love that he's supporting a black woman, you know, in mm-hmm. Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking awesome. It's so good.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. I just love, every time I hear a celebrity going out and like doing something with their power, because yes. I know some of them are like, with their branding, they don't want to rock the boat, but it's like, you don't like, you have a platform, have the, you have a stage. We don't have time for you not to like, you know, exactly. it's time to pick a side and stand up at this point, right. you know? There's too
it's
much at
really
stake.
It's really not that, like, we are not in a place where you can be that way, unless... Mm-hmm. You are a specific someone who've been we've been wanting to be quiet about politics.
Oh,
is now taking
yeah.
a step back from politics.
Stacey Dash?
No, ugh, I wish. But comparable, Kanye.
Kanye, good for him. Did Kris Jenner tell him, like, yes. stop it?
He has taken a step back from politics because he feels like that he has been taken advantage of.
Yes.
And so basically yes. what it boils down to is he's like became friends with Candace Owens, who is a self-hating asshole black woman that I do not like, and I hope that she digs herself into a deep, deep hole and goes away forever. Anywho,
tell me how you really feel.
I know. She sucks. Candace Owens sucks. So basically, he knew this guy who was making shirts that were like Blexit and We Free, which is basically Ugh. Promoting black people to leave the Democratic Party. And she was really into it. So it turns out in a various amount of tweets, Kanye says, I introduced Candace to a person who made the logo and they didn't want their name on it, so she used mine. I never wanted any association with Blexit. I have nothing to do with it. My eyes are now wide open and now realize I've been used to spread messages I don't believe in. I am distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative. Good. And while
there
you're
you
at
go.
It, Kanye, yeah. take that fucking
take
MAGA
that
hat,
off. Hat
off.
Take that hat off. I love that you and I are the same page. Take that yes. hat off and burn it. Take it. That yes. hat is not for you. It is not FUBU. It is. Uh-uh. It is the opposite of that.
It is
okay. Get that
you.
Hat off. It is against
it's
you.
For
against us. Be against no. us. It's Faba.
It's
just terrible.
I can't do it. Whatever. It's against us.
But you get the point. It's just a yes. fucked up hat is what it is. Yes. Well, you know, it's so funny. You're right. Like, you're right. Yeah, is one person I'm like, you know what? Just make your music. Just, you know what?
Yeah,
you don't need to say anything. Just, you just make your music, okay? That's fine. Everybody else, step it up. But you, Taylor Swift, step it up. I never thought I'd say these words. I never thought I'd say Taylor Swift, step it up. Kanye West, just make your music.
Sit
just,
it
just
down.
Make your music in the corner.
Sit, yeah, down, sit down. Make some music. I know.
But, also, but
can you imagine at the start of this podcast, we would be so amazed at the state of where we're at right now.
We would if we could only warn our past selves.
Oh my god, we need to do it back to
we'd
a future.
Never know. Good we? God. But I will want to say I just saw they had Stacey Abrams on The View mm-hmm. and they all recently she wasn't there physically because she's in Georgia doing her things, but they had her like
oh,
you know
just,
telecast
oh,
or
they,
satellite
satellited her in.
Yeah, which is very rare for them to do, which is why, like, here's the reason why I think they did it, because it's so fucked up what's happening in Georgia that they were like,
yes.
we need to kind of alert the people and get those people out
Good.
There, because there's huge voter suppression that is happening in Georgia by her opponent, who is, I think, the Secretary of State of Georgia, which
yes.
means he's overseeing the election. So he's both the player and the umpire at the same time.
And
back in 2016, And he's racist. And Stacey Abrams is so brilliant the way that she talks, because they're like, one of the conservative people, Abby, she was like, do you think that these are racially motivated? She's like, well, I won't speak to his heart, but I will say that everything that he's been doing has been affecting people of color. Like, and she listed all the different things that have been affecting
yes.
people of color. So she's
I'm
really smart.
She
she's like, I'm not going to say what's in. Yeah.
She was like,
I'm just
yes,
saying, like,
basically.
Here's what his actions are. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, and they had sued him back in 2016 because he was doing that same thing. And mm-hmm. I think our boy, Jimmy Carter, has even asked him to resign to give people faith in the elections, because what he's done is illegal. This is why people don't go out and vote, because you get fucked up things like this that are happening. And it's ridiculous. And there's like, even like the voting machines have been showing that they've been irregularities 30% in his favor.
Oh my God, which is so ridiculous. I hate that shit. Oh, speaking of the voter machines, I saw this on Twitter. And normally Twitter is a hellscape, but this is a warning to all of our all of our listeners in Texas. Make sure if you are doing, and I saw that this is a glitch that's happening that they need to fix. If you are going into early voting and you click all the Democratic ticket, double check your entries because it changes to Ted Cruz as governor.
What? This is like bullshit. Like, voting is not supposed to be this much more. I remember when I ran for like student council president back in like elementary school, you just put a little ballot in the box and you went about and went on the playground. That's what it's supposed to be. Like, it's not supposed to be this much.
That's why I'm glad that in Oakland we still use paper.
I know. I don't think we ever need to get away from this paper. In fact, like, we need to like as make it as simple as possible. I don't trust these robots. And I haven't even heard yet.
Either. I've seen Terminator.
I don't trust these. Yeah, I see it. I also see you, Putin.
I've seen The Matrix.
I've seen it all. I saw this documentary about, I see what Putin doing. Putin tried to make it so you and I couldn't even have a phone conversation today.
We're having
difficulties.
You know, all of this shit's making me a little paranoid.
Okay. So all right. I'll dial it down. I don't want to get you. Okay. All right. I don't want to get you going. But I was just like, ooh, I know. But
I don't need to be making myself a tinfoil hat. Thank you very much.
We were going on the Alex Jones train just now.
We were. Like, I know.
Oh, God. He's after us. But it could be true. But you know what? But I just won't yell it as much, because that's what makes us really crazy about it.
Yeah, I know. We got to say it calmly.
I'm going to say it calmly. And Nika, I watched, in honor of Halloween, I watched the scariest thing I've done seen in my life. It was such a scary TV show. Nika, pins and needles. It was... W. Kamau Bell, his show.
Something America.
This Is America.
Terrifying.
Is it This Is America? I thought it was. Ooh, better get the research
right. It's on CNN. I know that.
It's on CNN.
We met him before.
He did. He's very nice. And if you have Hulu Plus, it's also all available there as well, which is where I caught it. And
it's called United Shades of America.
Okay, there you go. What's This Is America? Yeah. Somebody be saying that.
That is the Childish Gambino song.
I can't keep them right. I can't keep what black person saying what about America, which is a very, you know, some, what? Whatever accurate portrayal they have about America. I can't keep them right. What is it again? What is it called? America the Beautiful?
Oh my God, I can't. United Shades of America. Okay. Oh my God, don't meet him ever and be like, I love your show, This Is America. Then you're going to get another famous person yelling at you.
Which is unusual James fashion. You're right. I need to like drill. I need to have like flashcards on like what to say. But his very first episode,
Let's just say, you know, your walk-on role gets you to a full-fledged role, and then you have to go to the Emmys. I will not trust you unless you sit down with me for an evening and I flashcard you.
Of who is doing, whose show is what, what's the full title, what shows they've done, what networks they've been on, all the
what's
facts.
What's the correct way to say their nationalities?
Oh, God. I'm just kidding. There's a long list of people.
But Christella, I'll get you correct.
Eric Andre, George Takei, Jennifer Grey. Like,
we're gonna have an earpiece, and I'll just be at home, and I will be your freaking, you know, command center.
Yeah,
helping you out.
You'd be like, oh God, yeah, I need it. Because I just get so confident. I'm like, ooh, I know exactly what to say, and I just jumble it up.
No.
I jumble it up.
You will not Amelia Bedelia the Emmys, James.
That is what I do. Send me onto a red carpet and glow. But I do want to give a shout out to the show because I heard about it. Yes. I didn't know I had access to it. It's really, really good. Because what I love, he inspires me because similar to Hannah Gadsby, who did Nanette, which I watched her stand up recently. Like,
excellent.
He and people like Hannah Gadsby are revolutionizing what I want to do with stand up, where we can make jokes to get at some truth, you know?
Storyteller.
Like we do with like what we do on this podcast, learn, laugh, and play. Like, you know, it helps me. Their shows have really helped me craft what I wanted to do with my stand-up as well. They're really inspiring. Mm-hmm. But he does an episode where he goes to visit the KKK down in the South. Yuck. And it is, my heart was, I was scared the entire time. And I know he survives because it's like, you know, two seasons of a show and like we would have heard about it. But it's really fascinating stuff. And
I saw that episode.
Oh, you saw it. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
I've been watching his show. I haven't watched this season, but I've watched it. Okay. He does what I love, where it's something that I would be afraid to do, but he goes there. It's like, oh, you want to know about the KKK? I'm going to go talk to them. Oh, you want to know what's going on in Antarctica? Cool. I'll go to Antarctica. Oh, you want to know about people who live off the grid? Sure. I'll eat this squirrel with this person in a hut. Like he.
Yeah.
He does it
in such a great way, like a way that I feel like is balanced accessible. Reporting. He goes in a way and he just sort of, he's able to really talk to them. And I think he just kind of presents all the cards out there. You know, I mean, it's slanted in a way that like, I mean, he's black and they're the KKK, you know, but I think that he allowed them to say their things truthfully and accurately and they're terrifying. And like, I when these show them like lighting, burning the cross, or as they like to say, lighting the cross. You're fucking burning a cross.
No, say burning, because lighting sounds delightful.
But that's what they try to spin it. Like, no, we're having a cross lighting. With their grand dragons and their crazy ass costumes.
I know, weirdos.
And who are cowards and won't show their fucking faces. And, and like, it was, I think that like, generational trauma is real because I felt this thing all over my skin, Aneka. It was like, I don't know. It was something deep, like the pain knowing that there are black people, that was the last thing they had seen before they were murdered or lynched by the KKK.
Our family, it's in our blood.
Yeah. I felt like I was like, oh, generational trauma is real. Like, it was the most terrifying thing I had experienced. And there it was. So, in honor of the day before the eve of Old Hollow's Eve, I thought I would share.
Yeah, we're recording
story.
Day before Halloween. That's like true spooky. That's like true not spooky. Like fun spooky. That's
no,
like
it's like
scary. Yuck.
Ugh. America's scary, terrifying.
I know. Well, should we get into more scary shit, which is kind of going on in my
this
corner?
This is a little, just brace yourself, gather, turn on the lights, get like, you know, something to cuddle and some ice cream and some comfort food, because this is a very spooky episode of Minority Corner, and Halloween's over, but the spooks just keep on coming.
The spooks keep coming until you vote.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. Yes.
In a world dominated by dude bro movie podcasts. A world where Casey Affleck has an Oscar and Angela Bassett does not. Only one podcast is brave enough to call bullshit. Who shot ya? With Ricky Carmona.
A lot of people don't know Porgs, Puerto Rican.
Alonzo Duralde.
I would eat Oakjaw.
April Wolf.
I want to interrupt and say that the fish man was real sexy.
Drea Clark.
I have a real soft spot for King Kong.
And women of color.
I was like, damn!
Brian Coogler got final cut.
Coogler got final cut?
It's literally the world's saddest orgy. And believe me, I'm from San Francisco. I've been to some sad orgies.
Who shot ya? Listen every Friday on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Yeah.
And we're back. If you're just tuning in, we're gonna get into it.
So I'm going to talk about this bullshit that's basically happening. I wrote my notes, and on my notes, I wrote Trump and his dumbass bullshit, which basically should be.
I think it sums it up. Yeah, yeah. I mean, break it down. Which bullshit this time?
I know. That's the title of his whole, of a history of his administration, is Trump and his dumbass bullshit.
This dumbass bullshit. Yep.
So I am pulling from two articles. The first one is from Good Old Color Lines, and it's called "Can Trump Really End Birthright Citizenship?" And the second one is from the New York Times, and that one is just basically called "Trump, you know, ending birthright citizenship." Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, to basically sum it up, if you haven't heard, recently Trump reported that he has plans to revoke birthright citizenship by executive order. In the New York Times, he was quoted in saying, "We are the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all those benefits." So basically, he also said, it's ridiculous, it has to end. But I'd like to point out that the New York Times, in the same breath, said, in fact, at least 30 other countries, including Canada, Mexico, yes, and many other in the Western Hemisphere, grant automatic birthright citizenship. So once again, bold-faced lie.
Yeah, yeah. And can I also piggyback off what it is that you're saying? Because Lindsey Graham, who all of a sudden has had a 180 and is like praising everything that Trump is doing, even though like 2 years ago he was, you know, being an actual human being and saying he's a jackass and
he loves white supremacy, what can I say?
But Lindsey Graham, like, he was supposedly going to be one of the holdouts of, you know, real Republicans, not the Trumper Republicans. Nope. And he's probably gunning for Jeff Sessions' position once Jeff Sessions is probably going to be fired after the midterms. And so he's probably gunning to be attorney general. So he's kissing up to Trump right now. But even, so this is why you got to watch what these politicians say, because Lindsey Graham, on those heels, also tweeted out that only like two countries also have the same policies as us. And lies. I just want to point out, like you just said, it's a lie. And it just, it infuriates me because these are leaders, and leaders are supposed to be knowledgeable and factual. Right. And this is bullshit.
Yes. It's once again, Trump and his administration and their dumbass bullshit. Like bold face, idiotic, easy to research lies, you know?
Yeah. Just Google.
So basically, just to help explain, if you didn't know, birthright citizenship is basically the fact that anybody born here in the United States is a citizen. Simple, easy. And an essential way to kind of explain birthright citizenship, in the Color Lines article, which was written by Amani Perry, they state an essential part of the class in, so basically, what a case that can help describe birthright citizenship can be the 1898 Supreme Court case, United States versus Wong Kim Ark. So Wong Kim Ark was the son of a Chinese immigrant who, because of the Chinese Exclusion Act, which we've talked about on this podcast, could not become citizen of the United States. However, unlike his parents, Ark was born in the United States and asserted that he was a citizen due to the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment, which reads, "All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to jurisdiction, therefore, are citizens of the United States and the states wherein they reside." The case is important in constitutional law because in applying and interpreting the 14th Amendment, it firmly established that the law of birthright citizenship. So that is what a lot of people are referring to when Trump is saying these wild ass things about how he wants to get rid of birthright citizenship.
And the 14th Amendment, which I mean, I'm trying to remember my history, but that is connecting, that is essentially what also gave, you know, black people, like, the citizenship. Because there was something that, wasn't it like a Dred Scott case? Like, it was after the 13th Amendment had been passed. And so, like, I mean, this is rooted into our ancestry. And so when you talk about trying to get rid of or ratify or do anything with the 14th Amendment, that should be bells, rings going off for everybody.
Right.
Danger, danger.
Exactly. So one thing of note, so it's kind of unclear how serious, and I love it when publications say Mr. Trump instead of President Trump. It's just like such a delicious day.
Like a little. I love it because Whoopi on The View never even says his name. She'll just say like the guy in the White House. She won't even refer to him as anything else. Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Your love of The View never dies. So.
I literally watch it every day.
Okay. So. In the New York Times, they say that it's unknown how serious Mr. Trump is about taking the action. In recent days, with the approach of the midterm balloting in which Republican control of the Congress is at risk, he has sought to appeal to voters by making other dramatic claims that appear to have no chance of materializing, such as imminent action to grant a 10% tax cut for the middle class. But if Trump did sign this executive order, and this is going back to the Color Lines article, an attempt to enforce it, it would immediately trigger a spate of lawsuits charging that the president had violated the 14th Amendment. So basically, there is a little bit of a caveat. So it's kind of like if he did try to do that, it would trigger the 14th Amendment. People would say that, okay, he violated it. We could create lawsuits. But so back on the other side now, the thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So the truth is, and this is coming from the Color Lines article, we have a long history of exclusions from the robust protection of the 14th Amendment when it comes to people of color. So like you just said, James, it's ringing the bells of alarm. This is basically when someone tries to take away aspects of the 14th Amendment, it's kind of like, okay, racism's coming up. Time to
ding, ding, ding. Racism, what did someone order? Oh, some racism. Racism's on the menu.
It is on the menu. Okay, so two well-known examples come immediately to mind. Plessy versus Ferguson, which is 1896, which upheld segregation. Mm-hmm. And Komisatu versus United States, 1944, which upheld the internment of Japanese Americans. So basically, both of those cases are stains on our Supreme Court and on our country because they violated the 14th Amendment. By treating people who were American citizens, taking away their citizen rights. Sorry. Yeah. If you can hear Zelda now, she's freaking out. There's a doorbell ringing.
She's upset too. She's freaking out. Girl, that's okay. You were born here. They're not going to take you, Zelda. We got you. But you know, I know you rag. You know you're going to. So on The View, that's what Sonny Houston was saying, that she said that the Supreme Court could possibly infringe upon the 14th Amendment, and you're showing two cases where they did.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, it said in the article that additionally, we were well into the 20th century when the court finally held that Native Americans were included in birthright citizenship. How fucked up is that?
Hello? Welcome to the party. Like, what? The least you can do. The least you could do.
What?
Like, oh, we came into your house and like, oh, I guess now we're going to acknowledge you that, oh yeah, you're one of us now. Even though you probably don't like... They're like, thanks? Like, what a...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I doubt they were dancing in the streets when that happened. I guess, you know, like thanks?
The audacity of children of immigrants to be like, yeah, I guess you who...
Right?
This land actually belongs to, you can live here. You could be a citizen.
I think that's the thing that just never... I mean, my brain always shuts down at any of these, you know... White people getting all up in arms about anybody else. And it's like, this isn't yours. You stole it. Like, I feel like the right thing to do is to be like, okay, bygones. Or like, everyone should just be able to be here. Or like, it bewilders my mind.
It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, if you really like, I'm going off script right now. But like, you think about it, the first thing that I saw when I saw this whole bullshit is Trump, aren't you from German immigrants? So therefore, if this was enacted when your grandfather or great, I think it was his grandfather, came over here and changed his name from Drumpf to Trump, none of his kids would be citizens. That means you would not be an American citizen.
Hello,
get that.
It's like they can't just like add it up or whatnot. And like, I mean, I don't want to go off too off tangent either, but it's just something too, like in the W. Kamau Bell's like thing where he's talking to the KKK, like where there's this new thing where they're like, you know, they're just being proud. They're like, oh, we're just being proud of being, you know, white. And, you know, we just want our own space and our own thing. And it's, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, part of me is like, I guess let them go fucking have it.
Yeah.
Give them like, but it's just like, I don't know. None of it makes sense to me. My brain will never. And I'm always a person who tries to understand the other side to it. Even not to like excuse it, but just to, like, I want to try to understand where is your brainwave thinking?
It does. And, I know. It's so hard. Like, I can kind of understand where African Americans can be like, you know, we're just black people and we just want to have our black heritage because our African heritage has been erased.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, makes sense.
If you came over here
kidnapped from
European immigrants, it's not like it was erased. It was like, oh yeah, my great grandfather came here from Ireland or from Germany or from Italy or whatever country, and we passed it down, which is why, you know, in Swedish tradition, we wear candles on our head during Christmas. Like, that is like, I mean,
yeah. You can track your family history. You can even, like, when you read in the history books, and if you know if you're of a certain, like, European descent, you can kind of track, like, you know, as far back as the books go of, like, maybe what your ancestors were doing. Like, you have all that information, all of that knowledge. Like,
right.
I don't see what's so hard about acknowledging that one group took over another group, kidnapped them, enslaved them for years, took a land and slaughtered millions of another group. Like, how do you not add up all those things together? I just don't understand.
Or even more simply, add up to the fact that you have a relative that came over here and therefore you're related to an immigrant that came to this country. So now you want to take that
away
from other people? Yep.
Even on the simplest fact, you're right. Bringing it back to the immigration thing, it's like, you're talking about yourself. Like, it doesn't make sense. Glass houses, buddy. Yes. Your house is so glass. You better be careful.
Because that's a lot of glass. How dare you?
Yeah. Don't you forget about grandma. That was a long ass boat ride over there.
You are disrespecting your relatives by passing this shit. Yep. Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
Kristen Clark.
That was a good tangent. You know what? That was I will say that was one of our most on point tangents we've maybe ever had in Minority Corner history.
I would say. I think we kept it right on target. I'm proud of us.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Good for us. We weren't like, oh, remember in Clueless?
Okay, don't take us off. Okay, so Kristen Clark.
Okay, I know. Okay.
The president and executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law called the idea illegal and offensive. Thank you, Kristen. Kristen has said,
all the snacks.
Aside from being unconstitutional, such an executive order would exacerbate racial tensions, exploit fears, and drive further polarization across the country at a moment that calls for the promotion of unity and inclusion. Kristen Clark continues, the letter and spirit of the 14th Amendment places those born in this country on equal footing. Thank you. And an executive order that strips away citizenship will create a permanent group of second class citizens and invite litigation.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's basically what's at stake. It's not gonna, the thing is, this racist shit that he's touting would not make things simple. It would make things so complicated and fucked up and crazy. Like, this whole fact of separating children from their parents, racism fuels chaos. Chaos came from that. Nothing structured, just sadness and children without their parents and horrific conditions. Nothing clean cut, nothing easy, nothing, more money was spent. But let's just say you're racist and you love money. This is going to cause so much money and confusion. Why would you even want to do something like that? Being born in this country and saying you're a citizen is clean cut, easy, and delicious. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Why create? You know, that's the thing. That's what's so crazy is, like, you know, immigration reform is actually a bipartisan issue. Both Republicans and Democrats want a comprehensive, like, immigration reform to come to the table. And this goes against that. And I just wish that these Republicans who want that would actually, like, stand up. And I get the election is coming, but it's like, fuck, like, like stand up to this lunatic who's in office. Like you call out his bullshit. Like, I mean, and like you said, when he says this, and you have a leader who says these things and creates chaos, it's doing the opposite of whatever maybe thing that he's trying to create as a unified America, maybe in his own weird twisted way, but it creates chaos. In the same way that like what he did created chaos when that dude from Florida, which Florida once again, then sent off all those pipe bombs to all of these people who were, you know, anti-Trump or just doing their civic duty as being Americans, or the guy who then went off because of the fear mongering that Trump is doing about the immigrants who are coming up, you know, to the fleeing these refugees who are fleeing their countries, who are again looking to what America's supposed to be. Give us your weak, give us your tired, give us your poor. Of when same thing when the pilgrims got in a boat because they wanted to, they were took their religion very seriously. For seeking for freedom, and that's what this country was supposed to, you know, and be about. And like, so he's creating this fear mongering. Even like there's a guy in Kentucky who shot, you know, two black people that, and that's not getting any news coverage. But it's these things that like what he's creating. He's creating
fear,
so much fear, and it's giving these people who are not mentally balanced who go into these, our cone hat conspiracy hat things. They just go hardcore into it. And then we have a leader who's reading the same things that they are and giving it permission.
I know.
It's what we don't
need. It has emboldened the fringes of our society to create havoc amongst the majority of us.
Yeah.
And I wanna point out something that was said in this article that I think that you'll appreciate because you're calling for the Republicans to say something.
Yeah.
So Bob Huggins, a Republican candidate for Senate in New Jersey, he said in a Twitter post, "The president is wrong to end hashtag birthright citizenship. We are a nation of immigrants made better by the diversity of its people, especially in New Jersey. We need compassionate, comprehensive immigration reform now." Like, I don't necessarily want you to win, Bob Huggins, but I appreciate the fact that you're speaking out against Trump. Like,
Not being afraid to go against the Trumpers.
Exactly. And we need more Republicans to do things like this. Like, you can still be a Republican, but like speak out against some of this horrible.
Yeah.
Not going to make our country better, but make it worse and more divisive and awful kind of settings. Like, this is, I've had to remind myself recently that all of these horrible things that have been happening, like, for instance, the guy who shot the two people in Kentucky, the guy who shot the synagogue in Philadelphia and killed all those 12 people, and the guy who's sending the pipe bombs to all of Trump's criticizers.
Critics
are three men, you know?
Yeah.
And there's all of this havoc that's happened in this country, and everybody's upset and thrown into arms. And I just have to remind myself, like, look, I went to a party for a cute little baby, and there was like 20 people there. And those 20 people were kind, decent, amazing people, you know?
Yeah.
These are the fringes of our society, and the majority of us are nice people that want the best.
Yeah.
And it's the apathy and the fear of few that get us to that activate the fringe to terrorize the rest of us. So I, for myself, for my own sanity, I have to focus on the fact that the majority of us are nice people. You know?
Right, yeah. Well, even W. Kamau Bell was saying that, like, the numbers of the KKK numbers are, like, dwindling down. Like, their membership numbers are dwindling down. But then the flip side is sometimes, like, they just are wearing a suit and a tie and not, you know,
right, which is dressed terrifying.
Up in, like, a hood. Yeah, a little bit
a
more terrifying.
Cape.
But they're, like, not wearing a purple cape so you can see them. They're wearing a tie so you wouldn't suspect them. Right. But I love what you're saying, and I do have to believe that. It's just like you said, Trump is just allowing the fringes to come out more publicly, but it doesn't mean that there's a huge number and abundance of them. And it reminds me of, I really love that CNN documentary that you and I were talking about, that series I am just on the CNN train. Remember, I'm on that thing, like, if it's not real, I don't want to hear it.
I mean, you jump from, it was a natural jump to go from a docudrama to CNN, you know?
Just the next best thing. But they did their 90s series, and they did an episode about terrorism. And at first I was like, what? What are they going to talk about? But again, like, the biggest terrorists in the 90s were these fringed white men and these, like, like the Unabomber. And again, they had felt that they were being left behind. And that's where they were acting out in these ways. And it's just, it's the same thing that is happening now, that they are feeling in whatever way they're being left behind out. Or ignored or whatnot.
And it's these politicians that are activating them, that are saying the dog whistle phrases, that are making them feel this way. And we need to make sure that the rest of us decent, mild manner ass people vote in politicians who aren't going to appeal to the fear of these fringe people, you know? Because that's exactly what happened. There are a lot of people that all of this stuff appeals to them. These like dog whistle things will appeal to them, but they're not going to go out and shoot up a church or a synagogue.
Right.
They're just going to be hateful in their own home. But the danger of that is there are people that are on that spectrum that will do that, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to think about that. Like, if you go to the fringe aspect of the left, like, what are we doing?
And
like,
we're there.
Going to raves and taking drugs? Like, no one's, like, fucking killing anybody else.
I thought isn't Antifa our friend left?
That's created. I mean, I don't know. I can't say.
Okay, because isn't it like because then they'll show up the Black Lives Matter protest and it's a bunch of like Antifa who are like,
but
the,
you know what Antifa stands for? Anti-fascism. What's wrong
with that? But then they break windows. But I know. But then they like go a little too far where they like break windows and stuff, and the black people and they're mostly white, and then the black people get blamed for it.
Yeah. No violence.
But you're right. We're not like we don't own any guns.
True. I know.
What do we got? We got our books and our knowledge and our we make some bomb ass posters. We make some amazing art.
Right,
we get some really clever chants.
You do have a point. And some t-shirts. There's fringes on both sides that we don't want to. Activate.
Right, which is why I do believe in a healthy converse. Us losing John McCain was a loss on the Republican side, because he, you know, I mean, I remember when he was running against Barack Obama and things had gone too far. He had realized he made a mistake with Sarah Palin, and she was bringing out these fringes and these crazies, you know, just her presence and the way that she was. And there was that woman at one of his town halls. She's like, she said, "Oh, Obama, he's a Muslim and he took that microphone away from her."
Yeah.
And this is like a week or two before the election. He was like, "No, you're wrong. That's not true." And okay, so, good. Like, someone who isn't afraid to like stand up for what is right, isn't just so hungry for power, actually is there to make the best country. And you know, he was friends with some of the he doesn't necessarily agree with people on the other side.
Let's not really. I mean, he voted for Betsy DeVos and stuff, but he still was able to have a spine to go against some of these horrific things that are coming up.
Yes. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, not perfect, but you know what? Not everybody's perfect. But if we're gonna have a healthy debate,
spine.
Like, I,
you know, Jesus, if this is so obviously like anybody who supported the children separating from the family thing, like, fuck you, have a spine. If you're supporting this fucking shit about no birthright citizenship in America, fuck you, have a spine.
Fuck you, have a spine.
You voted for Brett
Kavanaugh.
We should
make that a t-shirt.
You get
fuck
a
you,
spine.
Have a spine. Yeah.
It's so annoying. But anyways, so basically I'm bringing this all up to kind of say that it will be unconstitutional if he does do this. So there will be legal action that does happen. So we are protected in that way. Two, I love that you said that this is the fucking bell, the ring the alarm. Racism is coming out right now. Hello. Anytime you try to go against the 14th Amendment, that basically means I'm invoking the power of racism. And then three, Vote.
Yep, vote. And on the heels of this, is so important to also make sure that you're voting for all of the offices. Make sure you take at least 20 minutes to look at all the things that you need to be voting for. And don't just do it for you. Like, get a friend, call a family member. Like, I would say reach out to at least 5 people and make sure they have a voting plan and they know everything that is that they're voting for and doing, and just taking 20 minutes and just be like a tree. Because even your district attorneys are going to be the ones who are going to be doing these lawsuits for Trump, against Trump, if he does.
John Oliver.
I saw that John Oliver special, and I was like, "Ooh, we gotta tell the kids, gotta tell the corner kids." And a lot of people, and as I said, a lot of people don't even vote, end up voting for their district's attorney. Is it their district attorneys
or district attorney general? It's attorney general.
Oh, that's what it is. Vote for that, the attorney generals. James. A lot of people. It's the attorneys general. Sorry, I don't know who the DA is.
Vote for their job too.
They need to be doing their. Vote for that too. But the attorneys general, a lot of people end up leaving that blank and they become very, very bipartisan, very, very Democratic, either Democrat or Republican. And I'm not going to tell you who's doing some fucked up shit online. who's not going to challenge the president. Who's not going to have a spine is probably going to be not all, but probably a lot of attorneys generals who are on the Republican ticket because they want to stay in power and they don't have a spine.
That's a good point. If you have internet, Google John Oliver's segment. It just came out on the Attorney General, State Attorney Generals, because that's super interesting. And yeah, so vote. Remember to vote. And because a lot of these people that you're voting for have a lot of power to put a lot of different positions into power that lead us to the point of where we're at currently. So do your research. It's not that hard. A lot of times you can find newspapers or like different services. If you type in your state election comparables, they will give you a nice breakdown between each of the politicians and what they stand for. So it makes it kind of easy for you to align yourself, and also what each proposition means too, because sometimes those propositions can be kind of confusing. So do some research for that and go into those voting booths, and then also remember to double check everything that you voted for, because they be sneaky.
They be fucking sneaky, but we got you. Smile, you on can of camera.
Let's go to your corner.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
So I'm at this mafia restaurant.
What?
I'm going to go in and ask these guys what they think the best pasta shape is.
Mark, they're probably eating.
I have a hunch that it's probably ravioli, but I mean, you know what? That's a good idea. Whatever they're eating, I'll just take a look in their bowls.
See
what they have.
Maybe
there's supposed to be a big meeting there today.
Can you see it from the street? That sounds really dangerous.
I'm just going to go inside and ask.
Don't bother them. They're probably eating,
Look, I'm not threatened by them.
How about we tell them what the best pasta is on our podcast? We got this with Mark and Hal.
Oh, that's a great idea.
My God.
Tuesdays at 9?
On MaximumFun.org.
Hey, I love that show.
Okay, Neke, you ready for more spooktacular things that are happening? This might be the scariest episode we've ever done.
This one's fucking scary. What you're about to talk about has scared me.
Brazil.
And I love Brazil.
I feel like I just picture you, Neke, like curled up in like a blanket. I picture you right now.
Because this guy is a fucking terror. He's like Freddy Krueger on acid. He fucking sucks. I hate this guy. And I don't say I hate people a lot.
You don't. And I just, this is where I get mixed up in like my spiritual practice, where it's like I'm supposed to have, it's really hard to have like love and compassion for everybody when you get people like this guy. So Sunday night, Brazil just elected their neo-fascist.
I mean, basically.
I'm so used to putting those sentences together. Yeah. Neo-fascist, sorry. I didn't mean to offend.
I mean, who are you offending?
I don't know how to say his name, but Aneka and I talked offline, and we don't care. So I'm going to butcher his name. I hope you butcher it on purpose,
because fuck this guy.
Jair Bolsonaro.
Don't care.
him. So he was just elected, and it was warning that this was going to end up happening. And guess who's excited about this? Let me tell you who's excited.
Who? Trump. Of course.
He's very excited. He's tweeted that he had a great conversation with them. How excited he is. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Italy's far-right deputy prime minister was also one of the first to congratulate him on his victory, tweeting a photo.
American
And this is like when you look at the track record of like, in case you're like, well, I don't know, I need to hear all the facts. Like, but listen to like the track record of people who are supporting this guy. American white nationalist Richard Spencer retweeted some praise. The far right alternative for Germany's party's foreign affairs representative Petr Beiersten, he's also heralded him. In France, National Front leader Marine Le Pen, who almost ended up, she was very close.
She was scary.
She was going to win the election, but she's also very scary. Breitbart, obviously, is praising him. So what do all those people have in common? They're
terrible,
awful, racist, neo-fascist human beings.
So
yes,
this is from a quote, and I think it's probably one of the best quotes ever, and I'm probably going to butcher it. But Andrew Gilliam, he is currently the mayor of Tallahassee and is running for governor of Florida.
Governor. Yes. All the snaps to him, which, he could save Florida. Because right now I'm like, let it sink.
You know, he might save the universe. He might save it.
Mother Earth wants to take it to the sea. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe we need to just let her do her thing. She's trying to wash it out.
Andrew Gilliam wins, then, you know, so.
Then we can save it. Then I'll pray for
it. In a debate with his competitor, he said, you may not be racist, but the racists think you're racist, which is exactly you just described. If you have a bunch of big, terrible, awful, racist people that are like, we like you, then something's going on.
Something's wrong. I need to be like, wait a minute. This is not what I meant to attract. I need to dial this down. I must be saying the wrong things because I'm attracting the wrong people. Mm-hmm. It's like if you were trying to like, do a bird call, and all of a sudden, like a bunch of rattlesnakes show up.
You're like,
wrong flute, wrong. Okay, just the wrong flute. Got it. a bunch of goblins pop out. You're like, oh shit! I was trying to call birds, beautiful doves, and a bunch of goblins popped out. So, burn this.
Andrew Gilliam has the best. Some of your that. So yes.
He all the snaps. So Bolsonaro, gonna continue butchering his name because I don't
fuck
care.
That guy.
He doesn't deserve it. Not in the Minority Corner history book. We are telling this story.
Yes.
So shit, he's done. In case you're like, well, I don't understand. Is he that bad? Well, get ready. Here comes the list.
He's awful.
So he once told a fellow congresswoman that she was too ugly to rape. I mean, that should be enough
there. Done.
That's like, okay, done.
Done.
You're not. Yep. He has said that he'd rather have a dead son than a gay one, and that he'd fight two men on the street if he saw them kissing. Brazilians are not suitable for procreation, called immigrant scum, and promised to seize protected indigenous and Afro-Brazilian lands in order to turn them over to mining and agriculture interests, which is a ballsy move. Because again, like it's again looking at that thing like, he's very fair-skinned, which means he's probably not of Aboriginal descent, which means this isn't your land.
Mm-hmm.
Not your land.
Right.
He was charged under Brazil's judicial system with inciting hatred, thanks to his racist, sexist, and homophobic statements. Mm. He's also routinely called for violence against his political opponents, which, like, hello, it's a fucking democracy, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. In 1999, he said that then-President Fernando Henrique Cardoso should be shot. He called for gunning down members and supporters of the Workers' Party during their campaign stop earlier this year. He's praised the past dictators of Brazil, and he said the only problem with previous dictators is they didn't kill enough people.
Disgusting.
Yeah, and so he's called for a cleanse in Brazil. And like a lot of those things, they sound incredibly familiar to the guy in the White House. Like he's called for similar things, locking up political opponents. He's called so that people from certain nations lived in shitholes. Mm-hmm. Like the same sort of the Pussygate sort of thing. Yep. He also said that Carly Ferreira, that she's ugly, but no one's going to want to vote for her. Mm-hmm. Like very, very similar rhetoric.
Very, very.
And you know, you and I have the past year kind of been bubbling up these questions of like, you know, how does this sort of like happen? And like, how does a dictator end up like, and people know all these things that they still end up voting for someone like that. Someone brought up a good point that Brazil's democracy, their institutions are far newer than other countries and many of the US and Europe. So it's very fragile at this point because it's very, very much in its new infant state. And then again, if you're able to, if there's unrest in the economy, a certain people think that, you know, I think there was some corruption that was going on with their government. And if people feel like they're like others are having like as certain people who are used to being in the privileged sense feel like by equality is happening, that something's being taken away from them when it's not, things are just equal, then and you're able to capitalize on their fears and their worries and their
But it's also like the thing that really frustrates me about all of this talk, because we've heard it the same here in America where it's like, oh, we're capitalizing on the fear. It's also like the fear of people who don't give a shit about someone who says awful things like, you know, I would beat up two guys who were kissing on the street. I would, you know, like, it just is like, oh, it's so painful to me, all of this whole thing and how he got elected. It's just like, oh my God.
And like, and it was like, I mean, it was, we, people knew, and that's the thing, is like, we knew this was going to happen too. Like, that's how far ahead he was in the polls, that we kind of all saw this coming.
Right.
And it was just sad that like nothing could have been done. And you, here's the thing that, so I'll, I'm all of, I've, I read about like four or five different articles in the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. So my information, I'm going to put it all out there. I didn't cross reference with other news sources.
You know, so I'm just pulling it all out there. You're disclosing to us. I appreciate that.
I'm disclosing it. But here's the thing, the Huffington Post pointed out that like, unfortunately, here's the dangerous thing. Other news organizations here in the US and around the globe, how they've been talking about his win and how they've been talking about him. So the New York Times simply called him, saying that he's a divisive populist.
No, he is not.
Exactly. The Associated Press said that he's a rough-talking former army captain.
Okay, people need to call a spade. Well, he's a racist bigot.
Thank you. Wall Street Journal, who has a long-standing policy of supporting fascism, just called him an anti-establishment conservative. The BBC did a tour de force of false equivalencies, and they wondered aloud if his history of racist, sexist, and homophobic statements qualifies him as a racist, sexist, or homophobe, or just a refreshing break from political correctness.
Who are these?
You just
reporters?
Answered what you were questioning in your sentence.
Who are and these then, reporters?
I don't know, but they need to revoke their. Give me that journalism. I need to see your receipts. I need to see your degrees. I need to see some credentials, because this is call. Your job as a journalist is to speak the truth and call a spade, like you said. Yeah. And then in Canada, I'm surprised. Looking at you, Maple Leaf. How did you do this? Canadian Broadcasting Corporation said that there's no need to worry about fascism or the critics who have lambasted the former paratrooper for his homophobic, racist, and misogynist statements and his support for Brazil's military dictatorship. They said for Canadian businesses,
business.
A Bolsonaro presidency could open up new investment opportunities.
Terrible. Yeah, investment in the Amazon that's now going to be destroyed. Meanwhile, we only got 12 years left to save this planet.
Yeah, let's think about that, y'all. We got other things to be worrying about instead of the bullshit that, you know, is happening. Like, again, like, you know, the memo trying to erase, you know, transgender people from any of our laws. Like, we have other things that we need to be, like, focusing on, and not saying, like, we don't need to be focusing on the rights of these people. We don't need to be taking the rights of anybody else because the planet is in danger. So we, all of us human beings, need to rally together and fix this
shit. If you don't give a fuck about people and you only care about yourself, well, you're living on this planet, right? Don't you want to live on a planet that's going to be around? Hey, maybe think about Brazil, which has one of the largest ecosystems that make this world function, that's now going to be destroyed.
And they have one. I mean, I can't even imagine the amount that, like, the environment that's going to get be ruined down there.
He's gonna
these businesses are already Oh, yeah. And these businesses already have their eyes on all the ways that they can take advantage of, you know, fucking up environmental laws and making as much money as they possibly can.
James.
And so I wanted to talk about... Yeah. I wanted to bring this up because when I read all these stories about Bolsonaro, Hario, Hapa, that guy, I'm not so much like, oh my God, Brazil, how did you let this happen? I'm like, ooh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah,
you know?
They it's have
like,
someone in common.
This is like, tit for tat. Like, this is like, for me, it's like looking into the crystal ball of the future.
Yep.
And so I'm saying this and I know it's a very spooky episode and you're like, Halloween's over. But the other side uses fear tactics. I'm going to use them too. No,
yeah.
I'm not trying to. I'm using fear to keep you awake.
No, but James,
to keep you awake to make sure that this doesn't happen.
Dude, you know who Trump and Bolsonaro have in common, right?
What?
Steve Bannon.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Steve Bannon advised him. Yep. Steve Bannon is the pox that needs to be popped. That sounds like I'm calling for violence. I don't want to do that. But still.
That does sound like that.
I just said that because he looks like a pimple. But.
And I knew what you were saying.
I don't want to call for violence. I'm not calling for violence. If that's a sound clip that somebody wants to use, then use this sound clip saying, I don't want to call for violence.
Well, what good would that do? None of us have any guns, so we're fucked.
Just get him. Just make him shut up.
Just
make
him
stop traveling
down.
Around spreading hate and spreading horrible tactics to the world. I mean, Steve Bannon advised this guy. So clearly, the similarities are obvious because it's what was used here.
It's out of the playbook. It's out of that playbook. And you know what? I am going to put my metal cone hat on for a second and be like, I would trace the money and I bet you will find some Russian oligarchy money up in that election too, because the playbook sounds very familiar of what you've seen happen in Ukraine that we talked about a few weeks ago and over in Georgia. Like there's a reason why there's such a rise in these. They're all tied together that there is money coming from certain places and it is purposely to keep us separated, to keep us fighting against
chaos.
Each other because and chaos, and it allows certain people, if we're fighting each other, then there's people at the very, very top who get to stay very, very rich.
Making that money, getting those tax cuts.
Making that money while we're fighting each other. And I want to celebrate John Lewis because John Lewis to the rescue.
Yes, for his whole life.
Because John... his whole life, and like it's like he's like he, and like when I just applaud him because he's like, I can't take a break, gotta keep going. And that's why it's so important for us to go out and vote, because there is a new wave of people who are looking to help take he's got to pass that baton.
Yes.
You know, he deserves to be able to pass that baton. So Ocasio-Cortez, who's, you know, hopefully gonna win her seat. You know, there's other people too, Beto. So
Stacey
he
Abrams,
wrote a letter to
Gilliam.
Secretary Stacey Abrams. So he wrote a letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, this is a while back, urging him to protect human rights in the country, because he saw that it was going to soon be controlled by fascists.
Yeah.
So he wrote a letter to Mike Pompeo urging, and he's the Secretary of State, that's his job, is to go out there and, you know, connect to the other, be our voice connecting to these other leaders.
Right.
And he delved deep, in the letter, he delved deep into talking about in Brazil's, you know, from 1964 to 1985, they had a military dictator. And you know that they were found responsible for murdering more than 400 people and torturing and despairing potentially thousands more.
Awful.
And his letter also referenced, I didn't know about her, I didn't know about this person, Morale Franco, a black queer Rio de Janeiro city council woman who was murdered in April.
Ugh.
And authorities suspect it was a political attack.
Fuck.
And Franco was an outspoken critic of police violence and an advocate for equal rights for Brazil's most marginalized communities, and her murder remains unsolved.
Wow. John Lewis brought her up.
Yeah, in that letter.
Good for John
and
Lewis,
I want to give us
just
some
my heart to him.
I'm going to read some words of encouragement from him, and I think we'd all take inspiration. This is the letter in the letter that he wrote to Mike Pompeo, who probably did nothing. But he wrote, The U.S. State Department must unequivocally condemn the violence and targeting of workers, minorities, women, and marginalized communities in Brazil.
Yes.
Democracy and the path towards positive peace necessitate vigilant, thoughtful attention and support. The United States cannot afford to ignore the rise of xenophobia and extremism and the decline of democracy and human rights in our neighbor and friend.
Mm-mm. Yes.
So, yeah. So, oh, man. Fascism is on the rise, and it's happening everywhere, and it could happen just as easily happen here, which is why it's so important for us to get out there and vote this election. There's still ways that you can get involved. Runforsomething.com. I don't know what's there, but go to runforsomething.net and they have a list of candidates who you could support. Again, phone banking you can do from your home these days.
Yes.
You can sign up
on your phone. You can talk about it. There's an app.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways to, like, I think Samantha Bee's app is also offering money for voting and playing games, so you can, the gamification is happening.
Okay.
I follow people on social media, look about how you can get involved and help people. Swingleft.org is another great website to go to.
Yes.
How you can get involved in different canvases. The Final Nine, if you're in New York, again, the last 4 days before the election are some of the most critical. There are people, believe it or not, who haven't made up their decisions, and so it's so important for us to get out there and talk to people.
Yes.
and about, like, all the different things that, like, if there's measures, if there's all the different people that are running for different things, so that, like, no one leaves something blank because they're like, well, I didn't really know about this person. Emily's List is another great resource.
I used it.
And how did it go?
Went well. It helped me donate money towards Stacey Abrams.
Yay. Yes. And also, there's still time to, like, donate, doing whatever it is that we can. Mm-hmm. Time, money, energy, resources. I think we all have to, like, dig in and get this job done. So
vote.
Yeah. So that way we can fix ourselves, so then we can go and help Brazil. So we got to put our own oxygen mask on right now.
Yeah, because we're running out of oxygen.
Very true. So, ooh,
vote.
Go vote.
James, I have a story.
Oh, give me that story. Is it a scary story? I'm all scared out.
No, it's a fun story. It's
good.
Fun story.
Glad that we're ending on a fun note. Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't want to stop the train of what you were saying in the last corner, because it was very important, But I just wanted to point out that I've met John Lewis.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
what?
I met John Lewis. I took a picture with John Lewis. I told John Lewis that I was a librarian, and he was like, my wife was a librarian. You guys are good people.
Yes,
he'd be knowing.
That's awesome.
He'd be knowing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You would, like, you means you're like one degree of separation from Martin Luther King.
Yeah. For someone that I basically bum rushed, he was very nice. He's very nice and very kind.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't. Yeah. I mean, Aneka, you are really good at doing a slight bum rush to people, I will say. Because there's something about the way that you do it. It's not like
bum rush.
It's like, it's not too imposing. It's just like, you're almost like, oh, sorry, I'm doing it, but it's happening. Can I meet you and take a picture? And they're like, okay, how can I say no to that?
That's exactly what happened. It was basically me being like, John Lewis, you're a hero to me. I'm a librarian.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Oh, man.
And then he made the kind thing of saying that his wife was a librarian, which is like, so connected.
That is. Yeah. That, man, you've got many connections to John Lewis now.
I mean, how do you come up with that so quickly with being bum rushed by somebody, a stranger, you know?
Because, like, the man's on point. He has been in the game for a long time. Someone just, like, fighting the good fight. And it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear people who are like, ooh, I'm too traumatized to do anything. And it's just like, you don't think, you know, when John Lewis is walking across that, you know, bridge in Montgomery, Alabama, that he wasn't traumatized, that the people who weren't sitting at those, you know,
True, but I don't want to, like, if someone was traumatized, then I want to value that too.
Well, I think that a lot of the people who say that, like, when they're talking about, ooh, I'm just too traumatized to do anything, I guess the people that I'm talking about in particular, and the inferences that I'm thinking about, have not experienced the same degree and the same sort of effort. Like, they just have seen some things on
Twitter. Yes. I can't sweep up these leaves because a leaf once flew in my eye. I am traumatized.
Yeah, right. Something more along those lines. And it's sort of like, You know, I just feel like we're at this point right now where our generation is being asked to fight for our democracy. Democracy is not a given. It is not a right. Yeah. It's a privilege. And if you don't fight for it, we are all, like, I feel very blessed to have been born into a democracy that I did not necessarily have to wake up and fight for. But now I am being called upon, just like the ancestors before me, to fight for it and to create it. So if you don't fight for your democracy, someone will take it away. And I think our generation for the first time is being asked to fight for it.
I hear you. And I think what we also promote a lot on this podcast too is also taking care of yourself as well. So I don't, you know, I definitely want people to understand their capabilities and where they're coming from. And you know what? If it's hard, it's hard. You know?
I get it.
Acknowledging that. Yeah.
But it was like on the flip side of it though, I feel like you would want to look back and like suddenly we like, who knows what could come down the line of like, you know, different can't, like again, you take the rights of one person away, then it makes it easier to take the rights of another person away or some other thing that happened. And it's like, damn, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have stepped it up a little bit. Cause then, well, fuck, we'll all definitely be in some fucking trauma if we're all locked away in cages or something, you know? So yeah. It was just in lieu of like, it was shining a light. What I was trying to do is shine a light of like, thank you, John Lewis, for being such an inspiration who's gone through so much and people of a generation went through so much. And I feel like, all right, we're gonna do it too, John Lewis. We got you.
Wow. My happy story took a turn.
It's still happy. It's still happy.
I just don't want people who have trauma to feel turned off right now. But I get it.
Yeah. I think I'm not talking about like, listen, if you were beat up by a, but I'm not like, I think that the word trauma gets overused. I can't give you a specific example because I don't want to like, I think that there's people just like, there's a specific kind of people who are just like, oh, I can't do anything. But nothing's really happened to them. That's what I'm saying. It's like people who, like, nothing has really happened. And it's like, okay, like, come on now. We've got to really, you know, go for something, you know. I just.
You well, know, I John have. John Lewis is a nice, wonderful man.
That is a beautiful thing. We have a review of the week. And
okay, cool. Break it down.
They said 5 stars. They said, Jessica on this podcast, and I love it. Aneka and James are funny, intelligent, and easy to listen to, and offer some really insightful opinions to everything from pop culture to politics. Keep it up. Well, that's what we try to do.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And if you would also like to write a review, you can do so on whatever listening app device you are, or interweb apparatus.
Yes.
I'm trying to stay cool and hip.
like a disc man or something. What do you
think? Yeah, if you've got your Sony Walkman that you're on. Oh, speaking of, everybody is getting into the digital series. You know, Sony has something called like, oh God, there's like a Sony digital series. You know, like Facebook has like Facebook Watch and like.
I know. So it's becoming too much. Some of these things are going to fall by the wayside. Mark like, my words. Nectodromus is malpredicting that these are going to fall away.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like I forget what it's called. It's something so silly. Oh, I was hoping to remember the name of it, but it's like. Firesicle or circusicle or something with the sicle at the end.
That's
or something.
Not gonna last.
And I just felt bad because like these actors are on the show and I'm just like, now you're just using us. Like some, you know.
But you know what? They got paid, hopefully.
Someone with big dreams is just like, now I'm on the show on the Tony, on Sony Firesicle. Like what?
I hope they got paid. If they're not getting paid for their work, then that's even more exploitation. And I'm side-eyeing all of these things. But these platforms fly by night, man.
They're
fly
so
by night.
Many that just keep coming out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it has been. You had made this week and this episode so much fun, and there was a lot of shit that happened this week, and I feel like we were able to traverse these muddy waters with as much humor and information as we could.
Yeah, we just try to navigate all of this.
Cause
this fucking dumpster fire in our most flame retardant outfit that we possibly can.
Yes, we were looking
make
fly
it look
as we were
cute,
doing it.
Make it fashion,
and just have a little laugh as we go. Because if we don't laugh, we're just crying all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you got to do that too. But sometimes we got to laugh. So I appreciate you helping me walk through this dumpster fire in our cute, fashionable, funny outfits.
Flame retardant.
You're right. Oh, I forgot. That's the most important part. Ooh, that's these the most cute. Important part. They can't just be cute.
To get that fabric that will not burn on, so you come out unscathed.
Yes. Well, I do believe the next time we will probably be recording this might be after the election. So hopefully we're living in a better, beautiful. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we don't know when we're recording, but the listeners will be listening to it in the new America. So hopefully y'all get out there and vote. This is it. This is the last days to get out there and make an impact and get involved in any way that you possibly can.
That's right. I'm looking at the calendar right now.
There it is. Boom.
Yeah, next time y'all hear our voices, we will either be giving you guys some hope to continue on or, you know, doing a little bit of a praise dance.
Yeah. One of the other might be happening. So
one or the other.
Only you can prevent fuckery. Get out and vote.
Vote! Damn it.
Love y'all.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.